time to talk some NBA basketball. So welcome to the show, one of the best in the business from ESPN, Tim McMahon. What's up, buddy?
Howdy, partner.
How's it going?
What about me?
Partner, goes the plural.
Hey, so I hope you're going to be on my side of a conversation I want to get to at some point, but I'll just basically tell you, Mark doesn't think that there even is a Western Conference Finals. I mean, he's already put Golden State, he's already given them the World Championship.
Well, I don't know. I think the Rockets are probably going to show up and play the games. Consider that they won 65 games. They are the top seed. They won the season series against the Warriors. I can assure you the Rockets feel like there's going to be a series. I promise you they think they're going to win the series.
I set the over-under for the series at 6 games, and I know that's kind of that's on the fence type of line. I think there's a better chance that it would go 5 than 7. If it goes 7, Houston might win.
Well, I'm actually picking Rockets in 7.
That's what I picked, too.
Now, you know, I will acknowledge that the Rockets are a team that I have to deal with, so if I'm going to have an errant prediction, you know, err on the side of not having to hear their crap. But, it would be an upset despite the fact that they have home court advantage just because the Warriors are one of the great teams of all time. But, I mean, the Rockets are built to beat the Warriors. There's no questions in terms of offensive firepower that they can at least hang with them. And we're talking about two of the elite offenses in NBA history. And, you know, Houston is a drastically improved defensive team to the point of being one of the best defensive teams in the league. And, you know, as much as we talk about the sizzle of the superstars, you know, the four all-stars for the Warriors, you know, the Rockets' two Hall of Fame playmakers, I think the guys who are going to determine whether the Rockets can pull this off are a couple of role players that they signed that were kind of under the radar signings this summer, Luke Mbamute and P.J. Tucker. You know, those are the guys who have really allowed the Rockets to vault defensively and allowed them to be this switch-everything team. It's certainly the style you have to play try to slow down the Warriors. And then Clint Capella, who I think during these playoffs has certainly emerged as another legitimate star. Now, when the Warriors go small, the question is, can Capella stay on the floor? Or are they going to kind of be able to run him off the floor? And if he's on the floor, I think that he's going to present some problems for them at the other end, rebounding on the offensive glass and certainly finishing around the rim.
What are the weaknesses for the Warriors, and how would you attack them? I get that they're a little bit vulnerable around the rim, but, man, when you start to make a case to the Rockets, people say things like P.J. Tucker's going to guard Kevin Durant. Okay, well, that's fine. In a 7-game series, that's going to be much more advantageous to Kevin Durant. I mean, I just think that the Warriors are a little bit better at every position.
That's too much Longhorn for me.
Well, there you go. It's not like they say, okay, P.J., you're on KD.
I know.
You by yourself. You know, you take him, and look, there'll be – they switch everything.
They can't hide Harden in the post here.
They don't want to hide Harden in the post. They invite you to try to post up James Harden.
No.
I'm telling you, if you look at the numbers,
but they don't need a post. I mean, they don't need to post in this series.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Look, how do the Rockets plan to attack them? They plan to do what they do to everybody: a whole bunch of pick and roll and a whole bunch of ISO. Spread the floor with shooters, have Capella, either roll into the bucket or kind of work in that baseline, being a lob threat around the rim. And the guy that they're going to try to attack is going to be Steph Curry, 100%, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the last time these teams played, I think there was like 8 straight possessions in the final 4 minutes where they went at Steph Curry. And the Warriors will try to hide Steph. You know, they'll try to put him on a P.J. Tucker. And the Rockets, that's fine. P.J. Tucker will set the screen for either Harden or Steph Curry, and you're either going to switch it, and Steph's going to have to deal with one of those guys, or you're not going to switch, and they're going to feel like they have an advantage there at that point because you're having a guy try to fight through a screen of, you know, big, burly P.J. Tucker. But there's no question that the guy that they'll put a bullseye on is Steph Curry, and, you know, that's because he's the weakest link in the defense for the Warriors. It's because, you know, he's the guy that certainly you want to go after and tire out, and it's also because he's the guy who's still coming off of a knee injury.
Breaking sports news on WWLS, the sports animal.
Okay, so we got to go to this. Sorry, Tim, it just happened to be while you're on the air. You've brought us breaking news, and maybe in big picture basketball world, this isn't breaking news, but around here in Oklahoma City, it is. Not unexpected, but Nick Collison just announced that he will be retiring and not be back for next season. So Mr. Thunder is done in Oklahoma City, Mark and Tim.
Like you said, not unexpected, but certainly a legend. I will let you boys sing the praises of Nick Collison, one of the all-time great Thunderers.
Yeah, that is awkward when you have to say, I want to be a Thunder, or he was a great Thunder. Hey, I think that's going to be another spot that opens up that they can go try to find somebody that can pay to play.
That was my thought. That was kind of my thought on it.
Sorry. I mean, I'm not – Dusty's a little less emotional about this one than Jason Witten retiring last week, but yeah. We wish him the best. He's been great ambassador for Oklahoma City and Seattle.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was upstairs. I wouldn't be surprised if he took a job potentially management. What do you think about that, Tim?
No, I definitely think that he's going to have a future with that franchise if that's what he wants. Certainly he's an intelligent guy. You know, that's why he was able to last so long in the league. He's absolutely a guy who has been critical to kind of developing and maintaining the culture of that franchise. You know, I think you guys all know how much Russ values him as a teammate. Russ made that clear in the last game of the regular season when he basically made a speech to make sure that Nick Collison got love from the fans. And he's absolutely a guy, whether it's coaching, whether it's front office, I think he could go into broadcasting if he wants to do something that you guys certainly prove on a daily basis is really easy, and you don't have to work that hard. As far as post-career – oh, sorry, did I just take a jab at you? As far as post-career opportunities, I think whatever path he chooses, he will have certainly an opportunity to be successful.
By the way, I've got a new nickname for you.
What's that?
Tim the Politician McMahon. I mean, this guy's going to take jabs at us when you come on here and basically say you're picking the Rockets just to keep up personal relationships. Come on. Are you a journalist or a politician, man?
I am half.
We'll let you pick. Nobody from Houston's listening. We'll let you pick the Warriors if you really want to.
Jeez.
No, I truly, look, if you're going to be on the fence, you know, fall on the side where you have to live. But, I think the Rockets can pull this off.
I'm with you.
Say that knowing it would be an upset. But, dude, I mean, it's not that controversial picking a team that was a 65-win team and won the regular season series to win a playoff series when they have home court advantage. I mean, it's not like I'm picking an 8 seed to come up and bite the Warriors.
Well, listen, just so you know, which we have seen 66-win teams get bit by 8 seeds, Tim.
67.
Sorry for the kids at home that are counting. I agree with you. I'm taking the Rockets in seven. I picked them earlier in the week. But Mark and I have kind of been going back and forth. You know, he doesn't see it. I don't think I'm kind of going on a limb. I mean, if I had to put money, if I'm in Vegas, I don't know if I'm putting money, you know, on this, especially on the Houston side. I'd rather just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
But I think that at the very least, Houston's going to give Golden State all they want and some.
Yeah, no, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. There's no doubt in my mind about that. It should be a really fun series because, like I said, we're watching two of the all-time great offensive teams here. And then, you know, obviously Draymond Green is one of the great defensive players in the league. He's going to have his hands full. He's going to have to be a dominant force, but again, you know, Clint Capella, he's been a really, really good player. And, you know, I've kind of been singing his praises all season long. But this is a dude who's been dominant during the playoffs. And, I think he's going to be able to hang when the Warriors go small. Watching him guard guys like Donovan Mitchell when he got switched to him on the perimeter, Jimmy Butler in the previous series, I think he's going to be able to hang. And if he can, I think that those small ball lineups are going to have a really tough time dealing with the Rockets on the other end. His length, his athleticism, his energy, Draymond's great, but that's asking an awful lot out of a 6'6 dude.
Do you see James Harden having one of these 2-for-17 games in this series? Because if he does, there's just no margin for error for the Rockets. I mean, they got to be good however many games in this series that there are.
Yeah, I mean, look, Harden's not going to shoot the ball well all seven games. He's probably going to have a dud. I don't know if it's a 2-for-18 like he did in game two against the Timberwolves. The Rockets were somehow able to win that game anyways. Actually, they won it by 20, which was wild. But obviously, if Harden has an off night, the Rockets ain't winning. I mean, that's clear. But I think he'll have four good ones, you know. I think he'll have certainly more good ones than duds in this series. And then, I mean, last year, he had to carry the whole load. Obviously, now with CP3, it's a different story. Matter of fact, CP3 is the guy who really carried the load in the last couple games against the Jazz. Now, you know, obviously, you're right. No margin for error because you know the Warriors are going to put up points. You're going to have to play extremely well. And I think 110 is like the minimum amount of points you can score to beat the Warriors.
A couple more minutes with Tim McMahon of ESPN. Does a great job covering the NBA. You really did have a solid article. I shouldn't say solid. You had a damn good article on Chris Paul after that Game 5 the other night. Just kind of put into perspective from being around this team, seeing him, what him finally getting to a conference championship means to him and kind of his legacy. And then on top of that, for him to go 40-10 and no turnovers en route to them doing it just had to be unbelievably special.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was the best playoff performance of his career. And the way he closed it out, where he has 20 points in the fourth quarter, you know, the last 18 points, he scores 15 and feeds P.J. Tucker 4-3. So, you know, he finally got to the conference finals, and he did it in about as impressive a fashion as you could possibly imagine. And I think that kind of it eliminates a lot of the narrative and the anti-CP3 narrative. But it ain't like Chris Paul was walking out of that building celebrating. I mean, he wasn't going to go pop a bottle of champagne. You know, the way he put it to me as he's walking out was, who plays just for that? You know, he said, we got 8 wins left to go. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. He wasn't, you know, some kind of, all right, I finally made it. No, they're halfway home. I mean, he didn't go to Houston so he could finally get to the conference finals. He went to Houston so he could finally get a championship. And if they lose this series, he's going to look at this season as a massive disappointment.
Hey, in the East last night, I thought that was an incredible game. It was really fun to watch. But the 76ers, to me, their individual talent, there's some holes on that roster that gets lost sometimes when you look at the capabilities that Embiid and Simmons have. Simmons got to figure out how to shoot, and Embiid's got to figure out how to go score on the block. And that's how their season ended, because he couldn't score on the block last night.
Well, and look, I mean, you're talking about two young, ridiculous talents who got their first taste of playoff experience. I think you saw the value of Al Horford in that series in terms of his intelligence, his toughness, kind of his leadership. Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach, and he certainly exposed the flaws, especially of Ben Simmons. But people are acting like, oh man, what a letdown for Philly, dude. That's a team that went from 28 wins to 52. If you'd have told people before the season the Sixers were going to win 52 games and get to the second round of the playoffs, you know, people would have said, wow, you know, what a massive leap, and it really was. But, you know, that was their first taste of playoff experience. They've got a lot of cap space. We'll see what they're able to do with that. But I think Simmons and Embiid should be better from it. Sometimes you got to get your lip bloodied a little bit and kind of figure out what you have to work on. And certainly, like you said, there were some flaws that were exposed.
Two of the teams that are in the conversation to land LeBron James are the Philadelphia 76ers. And also, I've read quite a bit about the Houston Rockets. Obviously, the Rockets still have a season ongoing. Don't know if they'd break up a championship team, but what are your feeling? What are your thoughts on LeBron potentially, if Houston's going to make a run at LeBron and if Philly has any chance at LeBron?
Well, Houston would certainly try, but that is a hell of a challenge. And look, if they win a championship, I don't think LeBron goes there. LeBron doesn't want to be a bandwagon hopper. But just to be able to create the space to get LeBron is, I mean, I'd never say never with Daryl Morey, but that would be, he would really have to work some miracles there. Philly, they have the space. It's as simple as just, a recruiting pitch for them. And that's the one, if he leaves Cleveland, obviously the Lakers will be in the mix, especially, you know, as you guys are well aware, if it's a Paul George
you know, if Paul George is willing to go with him. But Philly, to me, is the one that just from a basketball perspective, stay in the Eastern Conference, where obviously there's much less path of resistance to the finals. And you know, you add LeBron and his brilliance and his experience to that young core, that's the one that makes a lot of sense to me if he decides that he wants to leave Cleveland.
That's going to be a really tough decision for him to make. I think that I see him now more staying there than going. But
well, and look, you know, it's obviously we can sit here and talk about basketball and all that. You know, he's a dad. He's going to listen to his kids. You know, how much do his kids want to stay in Cleveland? That's certainly something that could factor into the equation. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things going on. And, you know, I would say this. If Kevin Love keeps shooting the ball like he did against Toronto and doesn't shoot it like he did in Indiana, I think the Cavaliers' chances of keeping him certainly improve.
No doubt about that. So you've got Houston, Cleveland for your NBA Finals?
That's where I'm going. I respect the Celtics. I'm impressed by the Celtics. I think they've got one hell of a bright future. They've overachieved this season given their injuries. But I don't see any reason to think that LeBron's reign of the East is going to end. And then a mild upset picking a top seed to beat a dynasty in the Warriors.
I like where your head's at. We think alike. It's maybe because we're both morons or maybe we're both very intelligent. I guess time will tell. We do come from the same neck of the same part of the country, so maybe there's some of that in there too.
So yeah,
I've got a much better Oklahoma education than your North Texas piece of junk.
Yeah, but I didn't have to get tutors to write all my paper and give me the fraudulent all academic award. Give me a break. I mean, come on. Somebody needs to do an investigation on that. There's no way you were all academic anything.
Oh,
walking right into
contraire,
it.
Mo Frere. Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate the time. Always a pleasure. Be sure to check out all Tim's stuff. Does a great job covering the NBA for ESPN. Have a good one, man. Enjoy this great series. I'm sure we'll talk again next week.
Back to continuing Nick Collison coverage. Love you, boys.